Well, welcome to week 6 of our sermon series on worship. On the previous 2 Sundays, we've looked at God's Word. We first looked at God's Word as presented through the Scripture by itself, how God can speak to us directly through His Word. We also looked at how more can be revealed to us through the sermon known as the service of the Word. The author of a book called The Worship Architect wrote, "The primary action during the service of the Word is revelation. God reveals truth through the readings and the sermon." And we also learned what the difference was between teaching and preaching. For the goal of teaching is to simply increase your knowledge, while the goal of preaching is to create a response within you. When we receive the truth, we should sense a response. And that is not because of me, it's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you remember the day of Pentecost, that is the day that the apostles received the Holy Spirit. They were all gathered in the upper room after the ascension of Jesus, because Jesus spent about 40 days with them after he was resurrected, and then he ascended into heaven. And the disciples and the followers that remained were lost and confused. And suddenly, tongues like fire came into the room and whirlwinded. And suddenly they were filled and gifted with the Holy Spirit. And they went out and started speaking in languages that they had no idea how to speak before. And everybody who was gathered in the town from all different places heard the gospel message in their own language. And some people said, "What is going on? These people are rambling and babbling and things are going on. Are they drunk?" But Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." And Peter speaks the truth. And as we heard in the scripture reading, Peter continues to preach. He goes back to what was said by the prophets. Peter lays the framework for the coming Messiah, and then he powerfully proclaims that Jesus, the one who was crucified and raised from the dead, was indeed the Messiah. And Peter said that the crowd was now a witness to the power of the Holy Spirit that has come just as Jesus had promised. From Peter, the Word of God, God's truth, had been proclaimed. His sermon had been delivered. Now what? In Acts 2, verse 37, it reads, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" Now there are 2 important parts to this verse. First, I want you to notice that they were cut to the heart. This means they had an encounter with God. And if you remember from week 1, worship is about an encounter with God. Everything that has happened into worship prior to the sermon is to prepare us to hear the Word of God. We have to be prepared to hear it. If we do not engage in worship, if we do not pray with intent, if we do not sing with our hearts, if we do not share in our signs of unity, then we are going to have a hard time really hearing God speak to us. And when we do hear God's truth, we have a very important decision to make. We have to accept his truth or we reject his truth. If you have come here and you have not engaged in worship, in a sense, you have already rejected it. If you did not come here expecting to have an encounter with God and to hear his truth, if you're here just to be here, then you've already said, I'm not here for the truth. Remember that don't talk to the hand thing? I'm glad that went away because it was kind of annoying. But some of us come here and say that, talk to the hand. I'm not here to listen. I'm here because, well, I'm here. Maybe I had to be, maybe not, but whatever. But you have to be engaged in worship. You have to be ready to hear it. And each person here may be given something slightly different from each message. But through God's word and through the sermon, you are presented to the truth. And you either accept the truth or you reject the truth. And often we don't like facing the truth because receiving the truth brings about a response to the truth. It's like I didn't like hearing the fact that I was overweight. I didn't like going to the doctor because I knew, well, your blood pressure's okay, but I think you need to lose some weight. Or like my wife has reminded me before, you do pretty good, but you're not Billy Graham. Sometimes we don't like to hear the truth, do we? The truth can be hard. It can make us face something. It can make us change. We don't like to change. But the verse says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, meaning they received the word. They accepted the word. And they said to Peter and the others, brothers, what shall we do? We've heard the word. We get it. The Holy Spirit is present. What do we do now? See, when we receive the word, when we accept God's truth, then we have to respond to it. Because if we don't respond to it, the truth just becomes knowledge. And what does knowledge do for you? Nothing but become knowledge. We have to respond to it. In verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized. That means some rejected it. But those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I can't imagine preaching to 300 people, let alone enough people that 3,000 came to know. I'd be happy if 3 people responded and came down for baptism. What an amazing thing when people said yes to God's word. Your response to God's truth can vary. For each of you, in just one sermon alone, we may have different responses that are needed. And maybe you need to confess your sins to God and ask for forgiveness. Maybe your response is to go to somebody else and say, I need your forgiveness. Maybe your response is to go to somebody else and say, I forgive you. Perhaps what you received was truth that will help you grow and strengthen your faith. Maybe what you heard in a message and in the truth should be something that calls you to share your faith. Man, I can't wait to go home and call somebody. You know what I heard today? This was powerful in God's word. You need to hear this. Maybe a response would be a call to some type of ministry. Something in God's truth will say, you need to go and do. Or maybe through God's truth, God's saying, you need to change your behavior. Maybe God's calling you to serve. Perhaps the truth you received is another tool you needed for your toolbox to equip you and prepare you for your Christian life. Because the scripture says, put on the full armor of God, doesn't it? And sometimes we need to renew and restore and have the truth to be part of our tools to be equipped for our Christian life. Perhaps an appropriate response is to come and recommit to your faith. Maybe you're saying, I'm a prodigal son or daughter, and I haven't been doing what I need to do. And maybe your response that day is to say, I need to renew my faith. I need to be committed to God. I need a restart. I need a redo. And sometimes your response is just between you and God. God puts it on your heart, and you just have to answer to God. And sometimes the response is between you and somebody else. And maybe when you leave here, God has put it on your heart to pick up the phone and call somebody. You know, I haven't been a good friend. I haven't called you in weeks. God said, I need to reach out to you. Maybe you need to apologize. Or maybe you're waiting on somebody else to apologize to you, which is wrong. Just reach out and love them. Your response can be through an altar call. It can be through a baptism or a renewal of your baptism. It could be by coming up and saying, you know what, I'm ready to become a member. I'm ready to go through the vows. And your response can also be through communion. Everything we do in worship, and you may not know this, is built around communion. Communion starts with an invitation from God. Our worship begins with an invitation from God. And through communion, we are presented with the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And in our worship service, we are presented with the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And in communion, you have an opportunity to accept or reject God's truth. Now, there's the physical act of coming up and taking a piece of bread and taking some juice. And that can be all that it is. Or it can be a response of receiving that truth. Because the word tells us that Jesus came to do what the law could not do. In the laws of the Jews, they were required to follow a list of laws and commandments. They were required to be circumcised. All physical signs of what it was supposed to be the people of God, to be Jewish, to be Israelites. These were all signs. And Jesus came and said, I don't care if you've been circumcised. I don't care if you follow all the laws. If it's not in your heart, it means nothing. And you can come and take bread and you can come and take juice, but if you're not receiving it in your heart, it means nothing. And when we have opportunities like this to receive Holy Communion, it's an opportunity for you to accept whatever truth God has presented to you today. Or maybe a truth you've been hiding from previous weeks or previous sermons. Or maybe it's a truth that came from a friend or a phone call. Or something you read on Facebook. Or something you picked up from somewhere else. Because God speaks to us in lots of ways, not just on Sunday mornings. You might have read something in a devotion and you said, wow, I need to work on that. Wow, I need to do something about that. And here we have an opportunity through the very words that Jesus Christ gave us to respond to God's truth. So in your minds, there's two little checkboxes: accept or reject. Accept who God is. Submit to His will, to honor His truth, not our truths, not the truths of man, not distorted truth, but the complete gospel of Jesus Christ. And submit to Him, or say, no, I'm going to keep doing it my way. I'm going to follow my will and what I want to do because that's what makes me happy. God's way seems hard. But God's way is the only way to truly find peace and blessing. I ran from God for many years. I said no from the age of 13 to about the age of 30. God said, you're supposed to be a pastor. And I said, chasing girls is more fun. God said, you're supposed to be a pastor. And I said, but I'm good in math and engineering. I'm going to school for that. And later God said, you're supposed to be a pastor. But I'm in the family business. And I have a wife and a kid. And I can't.
You're supposed to be a pastor.
We all face choices like that. Yours may not be a call to pastoralship. Yours may be a call to a different kind of life. Your call and how God speaks to you each week is different. We have 50, 60 people here this morning. I don't know. The ushers took a head count, I'm sure. But each of you are hearing something different. And if you're open to the Holy Spirit will put on your heart how you need to respond today. And maybe when you receive that communion, it's a response of joy just to say, God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to provide me for forgiveness, for giving me the promise of eternal life. This is a celebration moment. And you can come here and just praise God for the receipt of the elements. And maybe for you, it's a time of confession. It's a time for you to come up to the altar and say, God, I've messed it up. I'm not where you want me to be. And I don't care what your age is, whether you're a young person. I think Emerson's the youngest in here, 8 years old. I think Glenn's the oldest here, about 250. Something like that, I don't know. So I'm close enough. But it doesn't matter. God called Abraham, right? There is no age limit on how God can use you. Because there's opportunities every day to proclaim the gospel to someone else. And if we have this gift of salvation, if we have these great gifts of promises, why would we not want other people to have it? If we have a God that has given us everything, who has given us grace and mercy and forgiveness and the promise of eternal life, why would we want not to live our lives for Him? Why would we not want to accept this great gift and just submit to His will? Why would we want not to live on the power of the Holy Spirit? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is what will grow this church. We can make up programs and we can have all kinds of new things and we can have balloons and celebrations and we could put up a billboard in front of this church that's 40 foot wide. You know what's going to change people? Not the billboard, but the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of your witness. The power of your love out serving in the community. The power of us being the church that we have been called to be. And so we're going to gather today and share. And one of the most holy moments that we can share together. For Jesus Christ, on the night that he would be betrayed, arrested, beaten, put in front of mock trials in front of the Jewish leaders, and then the next day to be handed over to the Romans again to be beaten and put on trial for simply being who he was. Knowing that one of his own would betray him for 50 pieces of silver. Knowing that one of his closest friends and disciples would openly deny him three times. Knowing that in the garden they wouldn't even stay awake long enough to pray with him and then run and scatter when the soldiers came to get him. Jesus took time to wash their feet. Jesus took time to sit and pray with them. Jesus took time to continue to try to teach them and explain to them, I am going away from you. Yesterday we heard in the scriptures at the service, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And I promise that one day I'm coming back and you will be with me. And until that time, you are going to receive the Holy Spirit. And it was by no accident that this night was the night of the Passover feast. A remembrance of when a sacrifice of blood saved the Israelites, delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and led them on their way to be a free people. And Jesus departed from that moment to say, God has led us this far, and now here I am. We have a new covenant and a new promise for all people to fulfill the very scriptures that had been given to you up to this moment. And he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. His body that would be sacrificed. His body that would be beaten. His body that would suffer death and be placed into a tomb. His body that would conquer death and walk out. His body that ate fish with his disciples. His body that he said, put your fingers in these wounds. His body that was lifted and ascended into heaven. Take and eat. And then he took the cup. And again he gave thanks to God. And he said, drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant. Jesus said it was no longer about laws and sacrifices. This was about a change of the heart. He said, I came to take your penalty because there's nothing you can do to be worthy of God. For God is a holy and just God, and our sin separates us from him. But he had a love for us. Because he created us, male and female, in his image. And his desire was for all people of all time to be his children. He wanted his creation to have a relationship with him, to be in communion with him. And he said, the law doesn't change your heart. But through my Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, through the sacrifice of his blood on the cross, and through the power of his resurrection, I will provide a means to conquer death and conquer sin and provide a way for you to be transformed in your heart. And my Son's blood will become the blood over the doorway that wipes your sins clean, that will make you worthy of salvation, that will make you worthy of the promise of eternal life. So that on the day of judgment, when that page is turned and your name is read, it'll say clean, redeemed, purchased by the blood. Worthy, enter in, my good and faithful servant. That is the truth, my friends. That is why we gather together. That's why we sing praises to God. That's why we honor His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we speak of His Holy Spirit. Because that is the truth that is presented to us. And the question today is, how will you respond to that truth? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today as your people. And Lord, we come to you today in humble confession. Each of us are in a different place in our walk with you. Some of us are arm in arm and right exactly where you've called us to be. And some of us are in a more difficult place. And some of us feel distant from you. Some of us have sins that are blocking our connection. Some of us have troubles that are weighing on us. Some of us are fighting change. And Lord, we come to you, and each of us, and in our own way, offer you our sins. We confess to you today that we have not been the church that you have called us to be. And let us all take a moment now for each of us to speak through the Holy Spirit straight to the foot of Jesus Christ so that our confessions may be heard by our holy God. God, you tell us in your scripture that you are holy and just. But you've also provided us the opportunity for forgiveness. And your words tell us that if we genuinely repent, if we genuinely come to you and confess to you to our sins, that you will forgive us. And if we have a willing heart, you will begin to change and transform us. Lord, we humbly ask your forgiveness for where we fail. Lord, we humbly ask for your grace and mercy. Lord, we ask for the strength of your Holy Spirit where we need strength. Lord, we ask you to bring peace where peace is needed. And through our Father and Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, I say to you today that you have been forgiven. Heavenly Father, we ask your hand of blessing on these elements today. May they truly become for us the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we may become the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood for the transformation of this world. May your Holy Spirit work wondrous mysteries today. May there be forgiveness. May there be healing. May there be joy. Let each of us respond according to your invitation. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and wonderful Father, We thank you for being the kind of father that desires nothing but to put your arms around us and love us for eternity. We thank you for this moment that we can share together, where through the power of your Holy Spirit, each of us can be fully redeemed, and that we can be one with you, one as individuals and one as your church. Lead us and guide us from here each and every day. Allow moments like these to always be on our hearts. Let us always be open to more that you have for us. This we ask and pray through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope your accept box has been checked. And I hope you're ready to leave here and respond as God has called you to. I leave you with these words from God's Scripture. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Go now and live for Jesus. Go in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of his Holy Spirit. Amen.